gentlemen, please give a loud Aldersgate welcome for Michael Gilmore.
God bless you. Thank you. I don't have any special effects. Do you know whose voice that was doing that little disclaimer there? Yes, it was. It was Bill Meininger. And do you know who the song clip was by?
Marvin Gaye.
Marvin Gaye. There you go. Thank you, God. Please turn to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. I was very blessed this morning to go to the morning watchword that we had, and we read Psalm 103, and that really blessed me, knowing what I was going to share tonight. There's one verse here. It's really my whole teaching, this one verse. Psalm 103, verse 3. I'll read it when everybody's there. Renee, take your time, you know. Christ hasn't come back yet. Psalm 103, verse 3, it says, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." There you have God. Two aspects here of God that we really ought to believe in our lives. It says forgives and heals. And therein, those two things are very often the maladies that people suffer in their lives. You know, the word forgiveth is an interesting word. It's only used of God, this particular word for forgiveth. And it's a word that means to kind of like pass over. He forgives. He kind of like just passes over our iniquities. He just passes over them like as if they weren't there. And the word iniquities is a word that comes from the root to bend or crooked. Isn't that kind of interesting? God so often just passes over all of our crookedness. All of our perverseness is another way that it's translated. He just passes over it. We're all guilty as charged. And Jesus Christ paid the price for all of us, so we're righteous, didn't he? But before God, he just passes over. That's the way that God is. And then it says, he heals all our diseases. And diseases are diseases. Diseases, sicknesses, or weaknesses. That's our God. Well, that's the teaching. But since Steve gave me a bunch more time, I guess we'll go on. Look at verse 2, if you will. Actually, let's start in verse 1. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. We're talking here about our Heavenly Father. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Isn't it healing enough just to read this psalm? This is our God. This is the way he always is. He's no different from the times of David. He hasn't gotten any weaker in all the years that have come through since this time that this was written. This is our God. Who satisfieth, verse 5, thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. And Jimmy told us about how God has a habit of helping people, a habit of bringing deliverance. He made his ways known to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Hallelujah. Because we need God's mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. Sometimes we're inclined to deal with others after their sins, and we should take after God. He doesn't deal with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities, our weaknesses. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. And then look at this next verse. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. This is God's word, and it's talking about God who doesn't change. It's God's word. God's word liveth and abideth for how long?
Forever.
If it's stated one place in God's word, it's truth. It never has to even be repeated. But God tells us over and over and over again how much he loves us, how he heals us, and how he takes care of our sin problem. So he can't contradict himself. If this is the way that God was back then, he's got to be the same way today. So let's go to John chapter 4, please, the Gospel of John. I want to go through a few records of deliverance in the area of healing. And I couldn't think of any greater area to go than to the Gospels, because Jesus Christ lived a life of delivering people. And John chapter 4 is just another wonderful example of how he brought deliverance to people. So chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 46. John 4, 46. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum, verse 47. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Well, here's a man who saw that there was a way out for his son who was about to die, and he went for it. It says in verse 48, then said Jesus, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. You know, Jesus said this thing. All this guy was concerned about at this moment, and understandably, was his child. His child was about to die. Verse 50, Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. He just spoke a few words, right? How many words are there? This is in English, but 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 little baby words. Go thy way, thy son liveth. That's 6, right, Brian? Okay, thy son liveth. That's 6 words right there. And look at the deliverance. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. We see two things here as far as I can see. First, God's incredible ability and desire to heal. And Jesus Christ emulating God in his ability and desire to heal. And secondly, we see believing. This man believed what Jesus Christ said. Well, hope it happened. Let's go and see if it did. It says in verse 51, and as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Well, that's a cool thing for them to come and tell him. Then inquired he of them of the hour when he began to get better. And they said, it's about 1 o'clock yesterday, about the 7th hour. He says, that's when the fever left him. So the father knew that it was the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. You know what the first miracle was, right? Turn water to wine. Now, I got to tell you, these people in Cana ought to have liked Jesus an awful lot, don't you think? And I think the humor of God is incredible here. The first miracle that he does in Galilee is get wine for a party. That's our God. That's the first miracle that Jesus did. You ever think of that? And he says it here. It's the first miracle. The first one was turning water to wine for a party. You talk about miracles, though? You know, we think you have to have, everyone has to die, and, you know, the sky is gray, and it's raining, and everything, and then we can ask for a miracle. The first miracle was turning water to wine for a party. That's our God. And that was Jesus' first miracle. And this was the second one, healing this son of a man who just came to him, asked him for his help to heal his son. He spoke 6 words in English, and whatever he said in Aramaic, and what happened? The man believed. What happened? His son got healed. There is the delivering nature of our God, right there. Isn't that awesome? This is just one record. We got a few more to go because I still have more time. John chapter 5. Let's move on along here in John. The result, by the way, was not just for his son getting healed, but it says this man believed in his whole house. A whole household came to God's word as the result of this one healing. We will see very often deliverance in people's lives brings greater deliverance to people who observe it also. And one area of that is healing. We're going to see it in a couple of times here. So John chapter 5, verse 1. After this, there was a feast. They're always having these. A feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. Porches means arches. You know, that's how they had like entryways into things. They had arches. You know, you've all seen those Roman things, right? So that was this thing, Bethesda. And verse 3, and in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk. I don't know if it's impotent or impotent. What is it? Impotent. Kind of reminds me of that guy that went to the doctor, you know? You know about that guy? He goes to the doctor, and the doctor tells him that he's impotent. And he comes home, and he gets all dressed up in a suit and everything. And his wife comes to him and goes, what happened at the doctor's? He goes, if the doctor tells me I'm impotent, I'm going to look impotent. Well, anyway, there were these impotent folk. I don't know what they were wearing. But Jesus went down there to this little pool place. And there's all of these sick people hanging out. Kind of an interesting place to visit, right? It's sort of like one of us going to a hospital ward. You know, that's what it was like here. All these people who had all these problems. Look, blind, halt. Halt means lame. Withered. I mean, these are the kinds of people that were hanging around at this pool. Jesus went there specifically. This is a really interesting record. Now, I have to tell you, in the critical Greek texts, the rest of verse 3 and all of verse 4 are not there at all. Somebody added those years later. Okay, so we're going to go on to verse 5, okay? And it says, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, he knew that he had now been long time in this case. He said to him, do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be well? Do you want to be saved? That's what he asked this guy. This guy had been in this case for 38 years. I'm not going to ask, but a lot of you aren't even 38 years old in here. And this guy had a sickness for 38 years. I wonder where his confidence was. Where do you think his willpower was after 38 years of being sick? I'm still working on 38 minutes, I'm telling you right here. And here's a guy who 38 years had this sickness, and Jesus Christ came up to him and said, hey, dude, do you want to get healed? Very interesting. By the way, it also makes me think we should never criticize people who are sick, believers or anybody else. You know, we shouldn't criticize them, and we also shouldn't make excuses for it. God's word says there's deliverance for healing, doesn't it? We could all die tonight, and God's word is still God's word. God's word is God's will. God's word is true. And if we all die tonight, it's still God's word and it's true. We may never believe God's word in all areas in our life, but we should never criticize someone. If someone's sick, they have a need. And you can help that person, and so can I, by telling them God's word and also by offering to them healing. So we should never make excuses for it, and we should never criticize people who are sick. We're going to see a little more about that in a minute. So it says here in verse 7, the impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled, stirred up, to put me into the pool. But when I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. You know, it looks like he didn't answer the question. He said, you know, Jesus said, you want to be healed? And he said, nobody puts me in the pool. Actually, Bullinger says that probably there's an ellipsis here, meaning there's some words missing. And he may have said, certainly, absolutely, I do. And I don't know, but that's what Bullinger says about it. So it says in verse 8, Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." I didn't count that number of words, and I'm not gonna. But it's not a whole lot. It's not a whole razzmatazz thing. It's not a whole regimen of treatments. He said, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." Look what happened. Immediately, the man was made whole, took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day, oh no, was the Sabbath. I don't know. I think almost every record of healing in the Bible and the Gospels was on the Sabbath day. There must be some reason there, because they always got all messed up with Jesus Christ because he did this stuff on the Sabbath. But anyway, this was on the Sabbath. So, of course, verse 10, "The Jews therefore said to him that was cured, 'It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed.'" Will you give me a break? The guy just got healed. 38 years he was lying on that mat. They should be happy to have the real estate back, you know, at the pool for someone else. But here they were all upset because he carried his bed on the Sabbath day. Man, oh man. Well, he answered them in verse 11. He said to them, "He that made me whole, the same said to me, 'Take thy bed and walk.' I just did what I was told and got healed, by the way." Then in verse 12, asked they him, "What man is this which said to thee, 'Take up thy bed and walk?'" And I love this. Verse 13, "And he that was healed didn't even know who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place." The guy didn't even know who healed him. Isn't that awesome? Jesus wasn't looking for fame, was he? Jesus looked to deliver this guy, and he did. I think it's awesome. By the way, this conveyed away, it's like turning yourself aside from a blow, you know? Like if you're going to get punched, that you turn to the side. He just kind of turned aside. Jesus Christ got out of the fray there. The guy didn't even know who it was that healed him. I think there's really a great point here. In genuine healings, guess who gets the glory? God, not the man. Jesus wasn't in there looking for glory. By the way, you know, I think that's one thing that we're pretty good at in our ministry, if you will, that we're not on a healing campaign or on a specific evangelistic campaign or into some other experiential campaign. We want to give people all of God's word. And all of God's word has great deliverance in all categories. There's a lot of people out there pushing one little aspect of God's word, one little aspect of what we have as believers. And it's just a piece. I'm very thankful. We need to get better, perhaps, in our understanding of God's healing and of offering it to people. But I'll tell you what, I'm very thankful that we know what God's word says. And it's not just a whole healing thing that we're off on. Jesus didn't have these campaigns, you know, tell the guy, "Well, you know, here, take my card, you know, and maybe you can show it to everybody and say, 'Hey, guess who healed me? And come to my church on Tuesday.'" Jesus wasn't like that. He didn't even know who he was. It's pretty neat. Verse 14, and this is also an awesome thing here. "Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said to him, 'Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee.'" He told him not to sin anymore. Sickness is the result of sin. It's the result of sin. Now, I am not saying that you're sick because of your sin. It could be because of your sin, but it could also be from the sin nature that we have. And we're going to see a little bit more of that in a little bit in another record here. But all sickness is the result of sin, either sin that you personally commit or the sin nature that we all inherited from, thanks, Adam. John chapter 9. We're still in John chapter 9. Also, I see in this verse, Jesus Christ went back to this man and found him and spoke to him again, just like he did in that first one we read. Isn't that interesting? When we minister healing to people and when we're helping people, it's really an important thing for you to follow up with that person. Help them. Help them that they don't get tempted into falling away again, into not claiming what God has done for them. It's really a wonderful key that we see Jesus Christ was really fantastic at this. He went and he found the guy in the temple. And everybody's looking for Jesus. They want to hurt him. But he went and he found this guy. It's pretty cool. Okay, so what did I say? John chapter 9. verse 1. Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? How come he's blind? Did he sin, or was it his parents' sin? Jesus said in verse 3, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents. And the best we understand, you should pretty much stop there. And then it says, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. Jesus had a way of, no matter where he was going or whatever he was doing, he always threw in all these extra little spiritual things, you know? I mean, this here, it was just, they came by this guy, he asked him a question. Jesus gave them all these fantastic truths about him as the Messiah, about these great spiritual things. Really awesome when you read the Gospels. Verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. How did that come from? Who sinned? I don't know, but look where Jesus is going here. Verse 6, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. That's a little unconventional, but that's what Jesus Christ did. And he said unto him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Again, just a word from Jesus Christ. Wash and come clean. He believed, he did it, and he got deliverance. He got his sight. Verse 8, oh boy, the neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him which was blind said, is not this he which sat and begged? The neighbors always have to get involved at some point, right? So really doesn't matter much what the neighbors think, but they always seem to have to get involved. So verse 9, some said, it is he. Others said, oh, he's like him. But he said, hey, I am him. I am he. Therefore said they unto him, how were your eyes opened? Now they want all the details. Verse 11, he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam, wash. And I went and I washed and I received sight. It's pretty simple, right? That's what happened. Verse 12, then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I don't know. You know, this is neighborly things. They're having a conversation. Let's go to verse 24. You can read this whole record if you like. It's really awesome. Everybody has to get involved here, you know. Verse 24, then again they called the man that was born, that was blind, and said to him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. They're talking about Jesus Christ. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. When you need deliverance, do you really care how it comes? You just want deliverance. And this man said, I don't care what you say about him. I was blind, and hey, baby, I see. Call it what you will. Verse 26. Then said they unto him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered and said, Lord, have mercy. I have told you already, and you didn't hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you be his disciples? Religion is always looking for a formula. Religion is always looking for a formula. Religion's based on works, as you know, right? It's what you do in the flesh. So religion always needs a formula. There's no formula here. They want to tell him how he did it. How did he make the clay? How did he spit? How many times did he spit on the ground? Was it blue clay, green clay, red clay? You know, maybe, and then they analyze it. Well, maybe there are healing properties in saliva, you know. And so they go through this, and we start a whole, you know, grant to study saliva and look at its healing qualities on your eyes. Doesn't sound that weird, does it? We do all this kind of stuff today. All the guy said is he spat on the ground. He didn't even say he spat. He made clay, stuck it on my eyes, and hey, I see. The important thing is that he believed and he got his deliverance. These guys are always going to be following around, trying to figure it out. They wanted to know why one time he put his hands on somebody, the other time he didn't. One time he said something, other time he hugged somebody. Another time, they'll never figure it out. And they don't need to figure it out. They're going to try to figure out your lives too and my life. Well, let them just keep trying to figure. We need to do that which God tells us to do. If God tells you when you're ministering healing to somebody to put your hand on his ear, then put your hand on his ear. If he tells you to put peanut butter on his nose, put peanut butter on his nose. Jesus did all these different things. It kind of brings up another point to me. Jesus didn't do this of his own volition. He didn't think, what will I do this time? You know, I think I'm going to make clay. Hey, that's an idea. Let's make clay. God told him what to do, and Jesus Christ did it. So we don't have to analyze either. You guys, we just have to believe what God tells us. And if you're ministering healing to somebody, and we all should do that, if you're ministering healing to somebody and God says, put your hand on his shoulder, then put your hand on his shoulder. It's that simple. Jesus Christ did what God wanted him to do and always got deliverance. There's the formula, I guess, if you need a formula. So God's will is to heal. You have to believe, and we see that, then you get healed. Let's look at verse 34. It says, by the way, if it were up to Jesus Christ, don't you think he would have healed everybody in that place? Think of the Bethesda deal, where all those people were lying around there, the halt, the blind. Don't you think his heart was to heal all of them? What's wrong with Jesus? If it was his own idea, then I can't imagine, I mean, I'm not Jesus. Pretty obvious, right? I'm not Jesus. But if I went into that place, I would want to heal everybody. You know, maybe I'm on the way to get a hamburger. I see all these people laying there. If it was my own will, I'd just go in and say, hey, you're all healed. He listened to God, and we need to listen to God. Why didn't everybody get healed? One person God knew wanted deliverance and would get healed. So what did he do? He said, Jesus, go and heal that guy. Same in our lives. I'm sure Jesus Christ wanted every one of those people to be healed. But only one guy got healed, and he left there, didn't he? Doesn't say he ever even spoke to anybody else. Kind of interesting, isn't it? But it's very simple when you think about that God gives you information, and you do that which God wants, and you get the deliverance. Oh, well, we said verse 34, right? Then answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sin. First they said Jesus was a sinner, now the guy who got healed is a sinner. Get the pattern? And dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Wonderful group, these dudes. Verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and what did he do? When he had found him, he said to him, do you believe on the Son of God? Isn't that awesome? Again, Jesus Christ, he went and found him. The guy could have just gone on. He could have given him his card, said, come visit my church. You know, Jesus is the greatest. But he didn't do any of that. And he went and he found the guy. And he said, do you believe on the Son of God? By the way, Jesus Christ was interested not just in their physical deliverance. He was interested in complete wholeness. And that's what we get from God, complete wholeness. Physical deliverance is a piece of deliverance. And we heard about today, deliverance from fear, deliverance we're going to hear about from condemnation, deliverance from the world. Those are the kinds of things that God's word brings to people. Well, verse 36, he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe on him? And Jesus said to him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he which talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Believe. Lord, I believe. Isn't that awesome? Matthew chapter 9. Right here. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came to his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer. I'm sorry, I didn't give you time to go to Matthew. So sorry. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Okay, are we there yet? Okay. Matthew 9, verse 1. All right, here we go. And he entered into a ship, remember? And he passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Did he say, you're healed? No, he said, thy sins be forgiven thee. Isn't that interesting? Verse 3, and behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, how did he know their thoughts? Because he was God and he knows everything. Because God must have told him. That's how you know stuff too, isn't it? That God tells us in the situation. That's how he knew. Oh, well, anyway. And so, I lost my place after all that. Oh, yeah. Wherefore think you evil in your hearts? Jesus Christ said to them, for whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? I don't know, which is easier to say, hamburgers or hot dogs? You know, which is easier? But, verse 6, that you may know that the Son of Man hath authority on earth to forgive sins. Then he said to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. I told you the cause of sickness is sin. Not necessarily your sin or my sin that we commit, but we have a sin nature, and that's where sickness came from. So it brings me to a question. Why do I condemn myself, or do you condemn yourself when you get sick? Are you just worried about what everybody thinks about you? Well, it's time for us to get off of that one. God gives us healing, right? He's a God who forgives sins and heals us, doesn't he? We read that in his word. So is sickness sin?
No.
It is not. Sickness is the result of sin. So when you're sick, that doesn't mean necessarily that you're sinning. So let's get off of the condemnation part, okay? You know, if you're sick, you're sick. Everybody gets sick. It's part of our nature. Everybody gets, you know, gets little things in their eyes and gets, you know, eventually some of us get gray hairs and lose a few. And things like that happen to us, right? Am I bad because I'm getting gray hairs? No, it's just part of this physical body. Thank you, Adam. That's what I got. But do you see, spiritually, we have so much more than that. And these physical things that we have, do you condemn yourself because you have to wear glasses? Do you condemn yourself because your hair's falling out or you can't run as fast as your four-year-old? Well, actually, you should be able to run faster. Well, whatever. Do you? Well, we really shouldn't. There's no reason for us to condemn ourselves or anybody else. If someone's sick, we can give them God's word, and they have great deliverance available, and the same for me, O Lord. So, did we read verse 7? Well, let's read it if we didn't. He arose and departed to his house. Okay, verse 8. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified Jesus, and glorified God. Genuine healing. Who gets the glory? God gets the glory. It's a good key for us to learn, isn't it? Oh, this is fun. Oh, still got a few minutes left, so I think we should go, if you will, to Matthew chapter 8. It's not very far from where you are, right? This time I got it right, didn't I? Matthew chapter 8, verse 14. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. His wife's mother is his mother-in-law, right? So Peter's mother-in-law was laying there. She had a fever. Verse 15. And he touched her hand. Okay, this time he touched her. Before he spoke words to them, right? One time he put clay on a guy's eyes, right? It doesn't matter, those things. That's what God told him to do. Here he touched her, okay? And the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. Doesn't even say he said anything. He touched her. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. This time, he healed all that were sick. See, if we're looking for some kind of a little formula here, we're not going to find it. He listened to God and did that which God wanted him to do, and there was all this great deliverance. Who do we have in us? Christ in us, the hope of glory. I can touch somebody and they can be healed, and so can you. We have to believe what God's word says, and that's what it takes, and listen to what God tells us. There's so much deliverance available to us in the area of healing, as well as other areas in our lives. It's awesome. But look at this next verse, 17. That's why I wanted to read this record. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. We have the God-given right to healing. It's a God-given right that we have. Jesus Christ took their sins and he took their sicknesses. Us, ours, mine, yours. He took them. We now have the God-given right because they're all paid for. They're all paid for. And we got to think of it that way. So what if I get sick sometimes? I just get my mind to put God's word in my mind. I get healed and I move on. And I don't condemn myself anymore or anybody else. Isn't it awesome what God has done for us? Psalm 107, please. We read this verse this morning. But that's okay. We didn't all compare our verses before. Psalm 107, verse 20. The greatest healing that we know of comes just from hearing God's word. Just from God's word, not from somebody coming over to you and laying hands on you or any other kind of thing. The greatest healing that we've seen in people's lives has just come from God's word. People hearing God's word. And look at this fantastic verse. 107 verse 20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. He sent his word and healed them. And we have his word right here. His word is right here. This is revelation. Just like the revelation that Jesus Christ received to minister to those people, God has given us revelation right here. And when I read these words and believe them, guess what I get? Deliverance. Deliverance. That's why we just need to get so much of God's word in our minds. And then we'll just be walking in fantastic deliverance. You don't have to have people putting their hands on you. You don't have to have all this other stuff if we just believe his word. Jesus Christ paid for it all, and now we have complete deliverance from his word. That's what God's given us. It's just awesome. Modern medicine is fantastic. I'm very thankful that we have medicine. I love that Advil stuff and some of those other things. They're wonderful. But you know what they are? They're just what we often refer to as third aid. First aid is God. I go to God and I ask God for deliverance. If I broke my arm tonight, let's say, that's a horrible thought, but just for a minute. If I broke my arm tonight, what would I do? I might cry a little bit. But if I broke my arm, the first thing that I hope I would do was ask God for healing. God, please heal my arm. And what would happen if I didn't believe to get healed at that moment? I should kill myself in condemnation. Because what's the matter with me? I'm supposed to be a believer. And I'm teaching about healing, for God's sake. No. But if I broke my arm tonight, what do? I go to God and ask him for healing, right? Now, what happens if I just didn't believe for the healing? What do you think I would do? Well, I'd probably ask Anita. She's right here. I'd say, Anita, would you please pray for me? And if I still didn't get healed, you know what I would do? 911, or sorry to bring that number up. I'd call, right? And I would get a doctor, probably the best doctor I possibly could get to fix my arm. Condemnation? I hope not. Because condemnation is of the devil. And sickness is the result of the sin nature. You know what? Sometimes sickness is the result of my sin. And all the Advil in the world isn't going to help me. And Dr. So-and-so and who isn't going to help me either if that's the cause. So you know what I need to do? I need to just get God's word of deliverance. Ask God for forgiveness if that's the cause, and move on with deliverance. God wants us delivered. Well, now my time is almost up, so we can go to Psalm 103 again, please. God wants to be first in our lives. Remember all the things that he did for Israel when they were in the wilderness? Everything, every day, God just met their needs, one by one, one by one. And when they went and tried to do it on their own, God got upset with them because he said, what am I, chopped liver? Here I am. I'm giving you stuff all the time, all the time. And then they run off and try to do something on their own. People, that's the way I am sometimes too, and it's so stupid, you know? I just need to go to God, accept his fantastic deliverance, and there you go. So what if I get sick? I think Jesus got sick too, but he probably didn't condemn himself. The greatest healing we know is God's word. So far, this is what I think we've learned, that it's God's will to heal. It takes believing for our deliverance, that we have the God-given right by the accomplishments of Jesus Christ to healing, and that we need God's word in our mind. God's word gives us wholeness, not just physical deliverance, but absolute wholeness. And so let's just read this verse 3 again. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. That's our God. Love you.
Okay, well, that's some food for thought, huh? Okay, so to receive anything from God, we must do what?
Believe,
right? Okay, so say I don't feel well, for example, all right? I don't feel well. I go to God, right? Now, if I go to God, you know, then I can go to another person to get prayed for or ministered to, and that person, be good if they were born again, correct? Operating manifestations in their life, walking with God, and then that person, you know, does whatever God tells them to do. But if I go to somebody and I want to be healed, I ought to be believing that I'm going to be healed, right? You know, when I go there. So, and, you know, that's good. If you have a headache, and then after a while you decide to take some medicine, do you go to the medicine cabinet? You take the responsibility of taking the aspirin, right? Suppose you're sick. You take the responsibility of going to God first, right? You do it. Then take the responsibility if you still need to be prayed for, ministered to, then call up somebody. You know what I mean? Maybe once in a while a person will come over to you when you're sick and they'll say to you, gee, are you sick? You know, do you want me to minister to you or something like that? They might say that to you, and sometimes it works that way, doesn't it? In the Gospels, remember at the Pool of Bethesda, Jesus Christ, you know, wilt thou be made whole? Remember that? So he went to the person sometimes. But there's a lot of records in the Bible where the people tracked him down and said, Jesus, would you heal me, right? You know, will you help me? So it works kind of both ways there. And we need to walk with God. But whose idea is this anyway? It's God's, right? Correct. And we need to do what God would have us to do according to his word. So that's really important. Okay, so it is now 8:15. 8:15. So could we be back here at 10 to 9? Is that enough time for you guys with little kids? 10 to 9, no problem? Anybody that's too... Anybody have a problem with that? No? Okay, so we're going to get back here at 10 minutes to 9. See you there or in the air. Okay? God bless. Bye-bye.